This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had OneNote, tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of the big show on an F Yeah Friday, and if you don't get it, you can't hear it. FU Friday will be next week.
I think you saw my poll.
And I take it you see my response. I had a write-in vote to your poll, and it was FU.
Oh, you wrote it in?
I did.
Oh, does it let you do write-ins?
You just responded
to your tweet. Okay.
Yeah. Without voting, by the way.
Brandon said, this show could get salty quickly. No, trust us. We've been through way worse than just this. Yeah. This is just us having fun.
The chair throwing and door slamming.
Yeah. The time you punched me in the face.
Well, it was just once.
Well.
So now that Charlie's gone and we're trying to get back on track for what we were talking about and what we had on the list today, one of the big things, the big story, and it won't go away, is this whole NCAA basketball deal. Now they're naming names. Now guys that are still in college are going to be in, looks like, big trouble and possibly be in jeopardy of not being able to participate in postseason tournaments, including the big one. Depending on how it goes down, Michigan State at the forefront, as if they needed something else to be at the forefront negatively with college sports. But now this, I'm sure you've already heard about it throughout the day on some of the shows, but now Lonzo Ball is chiming in, and he says he thinks that college players should get paid all the money that's generated for the programs and stuff. It's kind of an unfair system. Everybody knows everybody's getting paid. That's how it is. Everybody's getting paid anyway. You might as well make it legal. That's how I feel. This thing not only is not going to go away, but I don't think people realize how big this could be. Texas is claimed, is being called out as being a school that is going to face scrutiny. Kentucky, Michigan State, big programs, big names, big-time players.
Duke, North Carolina.
Obviously, the players that are already in the NBA don't care.
No.
They got theirs. Now they're getting it again, and they don't care. They're not looking back. Even Kyle Lowry was lame.
Did you see some of the numbers?
Yeah.
Dennis Smith Jr. allegedly received $73,500 in loans from ASM.
Yep. Because some of the people are down paying to go.
That's a lot of money.
Well, if they got a loan and it was only a couple hundred bucks for their parents or whatever, what's it mean? Well, maybe some players just got a loan. Other players, as you mentioned, got over $75,000. That's ridiculous.
Right. And the Isaiah Whitehead, the Brooklyn Nets guard, $37,600. Markel Fultz is listed as having received $10,000. Man.
Bridges.
That's a lot of money.
The kid that's going to be a first-round pick, but was contemplating coming back or not at Michigan State. He gone because he's going to bail before it gets really ugly, because that's going to come out.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of players that are currently in college and playing that one of the quotes I heard last night was, if you were a first round pick in the top 25 picks of the first round of any program in the last 3 to 5 years,
you got money.
You probably got money and you're probably facing some scrutiny.
Wow.
Well, so this could get really ugly.
Again, it's the guys that are gone that probably don't care as much. It's the ones that are currently in school that aren't eligible to leave yet, or that grab some money ahead of time.
Yeah.
That it could be bad for. So,
I mean, some of these kids that were thinking, well, you know my day is coming. I'm going to be a first-round pick at some point, but I sure am enjoying college, and I'm going to keep doing this. No, not now, you're not.
I mean, it brings up the whole, and I think at this point it might be borderline lazy radio to talk about paying players, because you and I, we've had this show a couple of times where we've talked about, you know, do you pay college kids and how much? At the end of the day, though, I think this just, if you really dig into it, what it shows is there's plenty of money out there.
Oh, no
doubt. That you don't have to take necessarily even take money out of kids, out of the school's pocket. Because, you know, the big argument when we talked about football was, well, some programs don't have the money. Like Rice, they don't have the money. Yeah, but they, like anybody else, is going to have sponsors if Nike is throwing in money or Adidas or whatever. So there's plenty of money out there could be funneled to these kids. The difference, it's happening now. The difference is it's illegal.
Yeah, and
they're
the
not
dirtiest,
illegal, but against
the
rules.
I've said this on the show before. The dirtiest of all dirty money out there right now is AAU. It's got nothing but more convoluted, ugly, and just downright nasty over the years.
Wasn't there one that was at, they were asking us for?
Oh yeah,
but they've got like was that an AAU team?
Yeah, it was just the other day. Yeah, AAU team was asking us to promote their tryouts where they were charging every kid $10 just to get in, and then they were going to decide who was going to make their team.
And they have a GoFundMe, and I get it. You want these kids, but dude, when I played ball, my mom and dad had to pay for everything.
No question, I did too.
Nobody,
including the shoes.
Yeah.
You know,
and
now,
if you didn't have the money, you didn't play.
And it used to be an AAU. You were a really good AAU team if you were sponsored by one of the shoe companies. Now that quote-unquote sponsorship involves a whole lot more than just tennis shoes. And the thing is, when you talk about this and you look at it, this is what started all the corruption. But it's been going on forever because as big as shoes are now in the AAU circuit, that was one of the biggest things growing up with colleges. I'm going to a Nike school. I'm going to that school because they got Nike and they got the warm-ups and the kicks and they got all the different things. They're starting to, you know, the Nike sponsoring the weight rooms or whatever. That was such a big deal. It's so much more than that. Now, the payments on the side and the things that we're talking about and you're seeing, look at the Patino Louisville situation, but look across the board. And I dare I say, but I mean, I don't think there's a squeaky clean program in the top 25 over the last 5 to 10 years.
Well, A&M would never do anything like that.
But even a guy like Roy Williams, who looks like freaking Mr. Rogers, who acts like they're so pure. No. From the books to everything else, let's face it.
Well,
everybody's been
main,
doing it.
They were one of the main, in the article that I was looking at on Larry Brown Sports, they listed all the names that you just said, and they were one of the top programs, Duke, Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Michigan State. It could get ugly, but it raises the bigger question. Is this a problem? Does it need to be the same way, or do you need to look at the rules and maybe back off of them some and let these kids
get
some of this money?
Anytime you involve the NCAA, you know the one thing that you can consistently get is inconsistency.
That's true.
So who knows? We can decide what the right thing to do would be to make, you know, to open it up, be a little bit looser with the decision making, or give them some opportunities, because we've heard all the stories of the kids accept a scholarship, but they're scrounging money just to get a meal,
right,
and all these other things while they're selling their jerseys and making millions off of it as a university. Yeah, there should be some changes and some adjustments. At the same time, you can't do that till you clean this up, and this mess is not going to be cleaned up
for a while
with a mop and a pail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'll continue to go on. And if you guys want to talk about it like Donald does, we'll get you in here and we'll continue to roll. So, Donald, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I think that, you know, one of the biggest takes on this whole thing that I'm tired of hearing, and they said this morning on with John Lance, is, well, why is the FBI bothering with this? Well, because it's against the law. There's a little thing called Title IX that they can bust these universities for, just like they bust the mob with RICO. If they're doing this, which they are doing it, they are breaking the law. Now, we can talk about whether it should be a law or not, but it is right now. So they're violating it, period. That's the end of it. The other thing, too, with Title IX is, you're right, they could have plenty of money to pay all these guys, but the problem is if they start legally paying any of them, they got to start playing the third-string softball player as well, because Title IX says all the athletes have to get the same thing. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Donald, now I'm going to ask you a question. That's what it says, but if you're going to start modifying the rule books of the NCAA now to allow them to get paid, don't you think that there's got to be some sort of scale, like if your program brings in money, then whatever portion it brings in is going to scale. So if you've got the chess team, they're not getting the same money that Baker Mayfield's going to get at OU. I mean, it's got to scale.
If you read Title IX, Donald, I'm asking you, don't you think
the logic would tell you there's going to be a scale and not that the third string softball
the
is going to do it?
Wants to have a hand in dealing with that part of it. They've got the rules. They set up the rules. And right now, especially with the Me Too movement and all this other kind of stuff, You had Mark Wahlberg give $1 million of his contract back just because of the way that it looked, that he got paid more for reshoots than a female actress did. Do you really think that the public would go for and support the politicians?
Yeah.
Going, okay, well, in everything else, they need to make the same thing.
Donald, sports, I do. I think if people logically are thinking that a football program is bringing in $50 million a year and the softball program is bringing in $5,000, then no, I don't think that Baker Mayfield and the backup catcher on the softball team is going to get the same money. I think that's not how the real world works.
All right, Donald, we appreciate the call because we're late for a break. But here's the thing. The bottom line is, like we talked about, we had a guy on our staff working here that was the kicker at Rice. He was getting checks just like everybody else for the video games. So within the sport, I would think that they have to be fair because it's college, to spread it out equally. But to your point, Barry, it's something that definitely is not going to fly if you're talking about the difference between a big-time Division I program in football or basketball as opposed to track, softball, whatever it is.
But I don't know if they're – I'm not saying they're going to do it or not, but I don't see any problem with some sort of value system because the UFC has that kind of in place right now with the Reebok deal. If you're more popular or you're a better fighter or you generate more revenue, you're going to get more of the sponsorship check.
Yeah.
Just the way it works.
That's how business works. If you're higher up in the company, you make more money than the guys that are new or whatever. I mean, hell, that's how radio works. Yeah. That's how everything works. That's life.
But to that point, the one thing that does chap my ass is, you know, you got the 12th man on the bench who's just happy to be there. But if you've got your Chris Webber is sitting there starving for a meal, and yet he walks by a sporting goods store and he knows that the Michigan number 4 jersey is bringing in millions to Michigan and he can't even fill his belly with some food. That's ridiculous.
Oh, no, I totally agree. But again, how many of those number 4 jerseys are selling as opposed to how many backup catcher softball jerseys are selling?
Oh,
and that's what I'm talking about on that sliding scale. You've got to use at some point, and he mentioned the Me Too movement, which has nothing to do with sports. In the sense of what a player should be played. And I get what point he was trying to make, but I think you're just kind of throwing things at the wall at that point. But it's common sense has to take over at some point. It has to.
But it's the NCAA.
It won't.
So it's always a wild card.
Yeah, you're right.
Know?
It won't.
All right, we can continue with this. And don't forget, 2:30, Bob Bickerstaff's going to join us. He is a Houstonian with big-time sports connections and the fact that he is a fan. And he's a comedian, and he's part of our F Yeah Fridays, as he's funny. So therefore, he's going to join us at 2:30. Up until then, it's all about you and the suspects and being part of the show. 713-780-3776, where you can call, text, or you can hit us up on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They've been in business for over 15 years. They're locally owned by Mike and Tammy Gust, and you are never going to get steered wrong. See what I did there? Honest, upfront, locally owned and operated. They take care of you because they want you to come back. They're in Houston. You're in Houston. They want you to stop in whenever you need wheels, tires, or so much more. If you want Kevlar coating to give your vehicle that individual look and feel that's unique, they can do that for you. They can do the rims and tires. They can do steps, and they can do lights, and they can do bumpers, and they can do all the different things, lift kits for your SUV or your pickup truck. And the great thing is they're going to communicate with you throughout the process, no matter what they're doing, and their waiting room has a big window so you can watch your car while it's being serviced and worked on. It's what you get at American Wheel and Tire. Customer service, bar none, is better than anywhere else, especially with these big-name national stores. A lot of times you take your car in, you think you're just going to get a repair, you get replacement parts, you get a lot of things you didn't ask for, and then you get a big bill, and it's up to you to try and ask questions after the job is done, and they can't go back and do anything other than charge you what they said they're going to charge you, and you feel like you got screwed. Never going to happen at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out. All brands and private labels of tires start as low as $299 and $399 for sets of four. It's pristine, it's beautiful, and they're going to take care of you. Johnny's going to be there at the desk. He'll take care of you. So will Jason. Mike and Tammy work there too. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop. Or check out all the great vehicles they've worked on, AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. It's an F Yeah Friday. And if you don't understand it, F you. As we continue to roll on, Bob Bickerstaff's going to be in studio joining us to promote his upcoming shows and also talk a little bit about sports, which he knows in Houston, so that'll be good. But we were talking before the break a little bit about this NCAA scandal.
Can we play Bob's clip real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure to you guys it sounds pretty cool, but I'm not a fan of what my voice sounds like, right? And I can hear. I think it sounds okay. Checking my voicemail the other day, and like my fat chin hit a button on my phone, so it started playing back my outgoing message that I recorded years ago. I'm listening to it. I'm like, ugh, is that me? I don't even sound like a guy. What is that? I'm like, I got to re-record this. Make me sound more manly. So that's what I did. Hey, what's up? This is Bob. Can't come to the phone right now. Why don't you go ahead and leave me a message? I might call you back. Then I played it back to check it. Hey, what's up? This is Bob. I like pizza. Wee! I'm like, I didn't say that.
You already know I agree with Bob. I can't stand my damn voice.
Yeah, and you always say that. Yeah. I can't stand my voice either. That's why I try not to listen back to the show. But, yeah, some people like their voice. Some people have those pipes. You know, some people don't.
Well, and I've told you, and some people force it. Like, the people that I can't stand the most, having dealt with broadcasters for all of my years, is the fact that you can't turn the button back off. I get it when you turn it on, when you're doing a game or something like that, that you try and get bassier and you really try and get into the details. But when you're off the air, don't keep it on.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about the messages you used to get. But didn't you tell me that there was, like, a machine that people – like broadcasters would bring to games?
Oh, there's a very prominent broadcaster that does national TV for basketball and football that brings his own equipment to add bass to his voice when doing radio. For
Charlie
sure.
Palillo. Jesus, man. Really?
It's
not him?
No.
I was about to say, you just threw Palillo under the bus.
No, I wouldn't do that to Charlie.
No. You know, working with the NBA guys, the engineers would tell me, hey, he brought his own stuff, and he's trying to add bass to his voice. And I'm like, is it that serious? You're calling a basketball game. You got to talk fast. The details are what matter. You're painting the visual with your audio. You're not worried about the fact that you sound like Barry White.
See, I feel like the problem with that is
Barry
is that
White.
One of those things are, one of these days that machine is probably going to become obsolete. You're not going to be able to bring it everywhere, right?
By the way, I got Barry. I got Barry White in there for you instead of White Barry. Oh, see what I did there?
I see. Watch out now. I will admit, when I first started doing radio, I was worried about how my voice sounded because I hate my voice, as I'm sure a lot of listeners do, mm-hmm. but for different reasons. Like, I hate the way it sounds. They
I
just
hate some of our listeners' voices too.
I meant mine, but all right. Okay. I was worried, and I would try, when I first started, I would try to talk. I would try to slow down. I would try to sound. And I thought, I don't care. Like, it got to the point where I stopped worrying about it. But at first, I was pretty self-conscious about how I sounded and my voice. I would ask Michael Carroll on Sundays, hey, do you need to add more bass? He was like, I'm not doing that. Like, what do you think this is?
We're going to tune your microphone?
Yeah. What do you think this
not
is?
Gonna happen,
just
sir.
Shut up and talk, idiot. Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
Yeah, and the story, Nick, you were referring to, I'll just give you the quick synopsis. But when I was with the Rockets as director of broadcasting, everybody's looking for a job. So they're all trying to apply. So they would, you know, you get the guys that are the play-by-play guys. You've heard their work. They've sent you tapes. You know what they sound like when they're on the air. But when they leave you a voice message, and it essentially is an organ and crowd noise short of doing a game, and you get, good afternoon, Joel. I'm ready to meet if you are. Let's meet for coffee. I'm thinking Starbucks, 10:30. What do you say? Give me a call, 713. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, thank you. No, I don't need a... That is a no. That's like having three mistakes on your resume. You just go, okay, next. I'm good.
You don't like
just,
that?
Just come on now.
That would be a little annoying.
Yeah, you can turn it off. It's just like you turn it on.
Bob can talk about this too, but it's like meeting a new comedian, like somebody that's just started. Everything, they're always on. I mean, every time you meet them, they're like, you can say something, they immediately got to make a joke, and it never stops until they're like 3 years in.
Most of them are sales guys.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, most of them are point, click, and shoot.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's like you don't always have to be on radio announcer guy. Right. Like, so my voicemail at the house isn't like, thank you for calling the Laminac House. All right. No, we don't. That's not how it works.
Blinky the Winker and point, click, and shoot guy. Yeah, you can hold that. All right, before we get to the break, because we're going to get Bob in after, Ray wants to get in on paying college athletes. Ray, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to add something to the caller that was just on before me. I think the point that he was trying to make, you know, Barry was making a good point about sort of a sliding scale and pay structure and things like that. But I think the point that that guy was trying to make was for the college athletes, the pay in the college athletes, that's going to be the NCAA. But the Title IX is federal law. So now you're talking about trying to get politicians on board with something along with the NCAA. And the era that we're in with you know, Me Too and the feminist movement and things like that. I think the visuals of that, trying to get people that work for the federal government to pay female athletes when they're not paying male athletes the same, I think that's going to be tough. So that's just all I wanted to add. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate
Thanks
it,
for
Ray.
The call.
Yep, good
Ray.
Call. Yeah, look, I mean, Title IX, you don't, this is already ugly enough, but when you start talking about getting, you know, politicians involved and all the legalities involved, I'm not saying it's going to be cleared up in a month, 6 months, a year, but the fact that this is coming out now, and they are two separate issues, but the fact of the matter is, if you even start considering as one of your solutions bringing financials into it, then Title IX is going to be prominent in it.
Well, okay, so I want to preface this kind of like I do my college basketball takes. I will admit I am ignorant when it comes to Title IX. I've never read it. I don't care to read it. I know it exists, and I know what its purpose is on a very high 50,000-foot level, but I'm not reading Title IX. I just don't care that much. I just want to watch sports and talk about it and make some jokes and tease you a little bit. That's it, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me that Title IX is fully enforced to the letter of the law every time. Otherwise, guess what? The softball facility would look just as badass as the football stadium does. The volleyball facility, well, they share the basketball. Yeah. But again, how many run down? That's not fully enforced like you think. Now, is there certain measures that are? I would think so. But when it comes down to it, if the softball team doesn't make enough money to afford a badass stadium, guess what? They don't get it.
But I'll tell you
this.
But
there's a badass football stadium on campus that does.
They might not seat as much, but those softball stadiums are getting to be pretty badass. And the workout facilities that they get are just equally to not. Obviously, the football is a bigger scale.
Yeah. So does everybody work out in the football facility? No.
Well, that's the new thing.
Well, I don't know about Title IX. Everybody's got to have the same thing. Not everybody works out in the football facility. The softball players work. Trust me, my ex-wife played softball for Sam Houston. She was a college athlete. And me, but that's she,
well, I'm just
they
saying,
don't
the
they
new,
don't everything's not equal,
and that's the new thing. We talked about Florida State, why Jimbo Fisher left, because he wanted football only facilities and couldn't get them because it was a state and publicly owned facility. When I played, we all used the same weight room. Now,
no way.
No, they're segregating everything. Yep. And the teams that bring in the most money, and like I said, if Nike sponsoring the University of Florida, that University of Florida weight room for the football team is for them and them alone, and it's got all the state-of-the-art top of the line. We can continue to talk about this, but we're going to take a break for a quick segment. Bob Bickerstaff's going to join us next.
Oh,
he's going to talk some comedy
and
some other things, as he has been a lifelong Houstonian sports fan, and we'll kick that around as well as a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. We're at the midway point. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. I want to take a second to tell you about Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. They're located in 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And I think they're missing one thing there. They need to say delicious food, because that's what both of them are, especially when you combine them together on the menu that Cowboys and Indians has. Now, I'll tell you, a lot of listeners as of late have been reaching out to me and saying, hey, I want to try this. You better not be lying. And I have yet to have a listener get back to me and say, yeah, I didn't like the food. Everybody that's gone there when they've heard my voice and talk about it has said they've loved it. And I know you will too. Get out there and try it. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Here's why I like the place, because it's, like I said, a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. So you've got your choices. You can get the butter chicken, which is some of the best in town. You can get the Himalayan heat burger. You can get chicken curry. You can get chicken fried steak. You can get wings, sliders. It doesn't matter. They have it all for you, all on the menu. They even have healthy options. When the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge started, I went out there. I got grilled chicken with green beans and some basmati rice. Really good stuff. All the food delicious. Do yourself a favor. When you're there, right before you leave, get a slice of the red velvet cake. You'll thank me later. 1901 Taft in Midtown. When you get out there, try Joel's favorite, the non-quesadillas. That's quesadillas made with non-bread. Mention ESPN 97.5 and you'll get 20% off. They've got a full service bar. And if you don't want to go out and do it, you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown. On Facebook, they're CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. Well, that said, I want to welcome Bob Biggerstaff to the show. Bob is a comedian in town. He's got a show coming up March 1st, right, Bob, at the Houston Improv?
Yep, next Thursday, March 1st.
Yeah, and
8 o'clock.
Joel said that when I mentioned you earlier in the week and said that you were going to be joining us, he was like, "Oh yeah, I've seen Bob at several different shows at the Improv."
Was it Caliendo?
Yeah, I've done. Yeah,
I've seen you with Caliendo, and then I want to say with somebody else. It might have been
Brian Regan. You did Brian Regan's show. I remember because I took my wife to the Brian Regan show, and you were on that one with Andy.
Yeah, at the Improv. Yeah.
So you've done a lot of stuff. HBO's The Lucky 21. You've been on Comedy Central a couple times with Open Mic Fight, Live at Gotham, a semifinalist on Last Comic Standing, New England Sports Network, Just for Laughs Comedy, which is a big one, Just for Laughs, getting on that. So tell the folks about the show, who's on it, and how they can get tickets.
I'm a big shot. You're right, Barry. that's obvious.
You know, I'm trying.
I think it's obvious when you said, make sure you bring your own headphones. That's when I knew I was a big shot. Those ESPN cutbacks
are... We do it upright, don't
even,
we?
They've even the gone to is, not supplying
we
headphones.
We used to have the disposables. You get them brand new and throw them away at the end.
Yeah,
the
it was like
out.
A dentist. We just come in, we take them out of the package, we give them to you, we throw them away.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, well, everyone steals them, so we have none left. I assume.
Yeah, no, he was going to let me use his, I think.
Yeah, see? And that's gross. So.
That comes with whatever was on them when
well,
he
at least
used
they're over the ears. If you hand me earbuds... Yeah, we've been letting people use these for a year. Oh, that's nice. Were they supposed to be yellow? Just use them.
Because people show up and they don't bring headphones, and then it's a mad scramble. And sometimes we've got to use AJ Hoffman's, and then, oh my God, he never stops bitching about it. So, yeah, that's why it was
I'll just
easier
run in there
to
and grab Salisbury's.
Oh, yeah. And then he'll fight you. So now you have the show March
1st. Yeah, big show. March 1st at the Houston Improv. Myself, obviously, I'm headlining the show. Some of my local buddies that are very funny, Jaffer Khan, Gabe Bravo, Matt Donovan. He goes by English Matt because he's from England.
And, pretty clever.
Dale Cheeseman. Oh. They're all going to be on the show.
Yeah, really thanks good for show. Having me, by the way. I appreciate it. That's nice of you.
No problem, Barry. I'd already asked to be on the show before, and then I set the lineup.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, hey, can I do a show? I was like, yeah. He goes, okay, here's who's on my show. And then, okay, I see. Thanks a lot. I'm out of town, so it doesn't matter.
Comedy seems to be a lot like radio, just a lot of animosity and cutthroating and back and forth. It's great.
It is kind of like that, actually. It's very petty.
Yeah, well, I mean, and just like the NCAA, I'm the only one getting paid on the show.
That is true.
I'm not paying anybody.
So you are Rick Pitino. Yeah.
Well, yes. Pretty much. After the show, I'm going to make sure the Improv gives me the key so I can lock up and
use the table.
Bang a chick.
Yeah. There you go.
Are you watching the Olympics at all?
Yeah, the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like watching the Olympics. What's your favorite sport?
You know, I like short track speed skating a lot.
That's cool.
Because the wrecks, and it's kind of like the NASCAR on ice thing.
They can put their hand down.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
On the ice.
Curling has been kind of like gaining ground with me, but after I watched that
curling when darts is too fast for you.
That's just kind of it.
The Ron Jeremy guy that's the captain of the U.S. team that they keep showing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you got to have some goofball on it to get, come on, it's curling. America doesn't really care.
Well, do you have one? Do you have a favorite?
Well, not in the winter. I don't really. I mean, I like watching the winter. I like the skiing and bobsledding, luge, skeleton. Those are all pretty neat. But like my favorite Olympic athlete is you guys know him. He's from the Summer Olympics, Oscar Pistorius.
Yes.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
The Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows the Blade Runner, right? And remember, I mean, obviously he's more famous recently for shooting his girlfriend, but before that, he was the world's most famous Paralympian.
Yeah.
Right? And then actually wanted to race in the I guess we'll call it the regular Olympics that we all watch on TV.
Right.
And qualified to represent South Africa in the Olympics. I think he ran like the 400 meter dash. And I remember watching him at the regular Olympics, you know, on NBC. And I was like, I'm watching it and he gets in the starting blocks and I was kind of drunk, right, with a buddy. I'm like, look at this guy. Oh, gee, well, what's he going to do? Bounce his way into the finals. Come on. And if you don't remember, he got last place. He was the slowest of anybody
of course.
That qualified for the Olympics. And after I said that, I was like, oh, what's this guy going to do? My buddy's like, oh, he's like, why you got to make fun of him, man? He goes, you couldn't do what he just did. And I was like, what? Get last place? I'm pretty sure I could get last place in the 400 meter dash in the Olympics. I'll try my hardest.
That's like the lady that did the half pipe. Did you see her the Hungarian?
They said she did no tricks. She went backwards once.
At the end?
Yeah, she came down the hill backwards.
My favorite part was the announcer because it was like, here's her run. She turned.
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be the only time I was watching an Olympic athlete going, I can almost do what she just did.
The color analyst was like trying to build it up like it was legit, going, now watch here. This is normally where you can pull a pretty sweet, you know, double spin move. And like, oh, that was dead on.
Well,
no.
Basically, they were just saying because she, obviously she represented a country that didn't have any other skiers that thing. But like they made a rule years ago because of the Jamaican bobsledders and the Eddie the Eagle guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever saw that movie, they made a rule to where in all these events, unless you're the host country, there's a qualifying time or score or standing to represent your country in every sport.
Like, yeah.
You can't, if your country doesn't have anybody running the 100-yard dash, you know, just because you have some guy that runs it in 30 seconds, you're like, I represent this country. That they still have to run like, I don't know, 11 seconds or something.
Yeah.
To even be on the...
Well, she, I love it because to me...
She just didn't get last place in like all the events because she would just do her thing. And then if somebody fell down, they would get last place.
China, she got 13 out of 15 and that qualified her.
Yeah.
For the Olympics, but I feel like she's proof that you can't do anything you put your mind to.
Yeah.
How do you feel if you're the two people she beat?
It's not happening.
How do you feel if she got 13 out of 15?
Well, they probably fell.
They must have fallen. That was her thing. She would enter all these events where there's like 28 people in it, and as long as she didn't get last place, it got her points to where that's how she gets the qualifying points to be on the team. Yeah, it's stupid.
It's like you said, because you know, because I was going to cut a video making fun of her.
What she should have done was just come straight down the middle of the pipe, not even go, just be like,
turned
done.
Like backwards.
Like, just kind of throw herself into
so if somebody else doesn't,
the bottom.
Unless, you know, somebody else doesn't fall, then she's still not going to get last place.
The only thing that would have made it better, actually, was if she fell. If she's just doing those simple little ass tricks and then falls still. That would have made it perfect for me. Because then it's like, you can't even do that.
She looked like she didn't really know how to ski.
She's like, oh, look at my feet.
And then when she was taught, it was like, I really thought I did better. And it's like, well, no, there's something wrong with you if you really thought you did better than.
Yeah. But like anything else, if it's a story because of how bad it was, it's now a thing. She's on the Today Show. She's doing the rounds. They're interviewing her. What is she going to tell you how compelling her run was? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, she represented Poland. They probably thought she won with all the...
Oh, you did so good.
It's a joke if you have a large Polish listenership.
Huge. We're very big in the
from
Poland
Wisconsin.
Community.
You know how like
we
every Aggie joke... I grew up in New York, and when I moved here in high school, every Aggie joke, I was like, no, that's a... If you want, I can say Polak.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's a Polak joke. And they're like, what's a Polak joke? And I'm like, what you said, but every place you said Aggie, you say Polak.
It's the same thing.
Growing up in Wisconsin,
then I realized
right,
they were hacky jokes. I thought they were original.
You thought you wrote them all? No. Now, do you have a favorite sport? Are you? I know you talk about the Astros in your set. You talk about the Rockets a little
tennis
bit.
Tennis is actually my favorite sport.
Okay.
I played.
Not a basketball guy?
Because I went to high school here out in the Woodlands. I actually played tennis in high school.
Nice.
Years ago. That's probably if I had to pick my favorite sport, but yeah, I mean, football is my second favorite. Basketball, baseball is great seeing the Astros.
Yeah.
win the World Series, especially with the hurricane.
Right.
Remember the fun stuff we did during the hurricane?
I do. You were up here, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Nick, did you remember Bob from when we recorded you for that, what was it called?
Bags? State Bags.
Yeah, but it was...
State Bags, this company, they... it's a Brooklyn-based company, and they make these high-end backpacks and satchels and stuff. It's like Tom's Shoes. Whenever you buy one, they give one to an impoverished person. So they wanted to do something for Houston after the flood. So they came down a few weeks later. Could have been like a month later. And basically what they want to do is we made a video with myself, Barry, some other local comedians, talking to people about who were affected by the flood. We talked to a couple people here at the station. And
Nick was one of them.
Yeah, guys, they came here and they...
You guys didn't even realize you had met already, did you?
I recognized him, but I forgot about that.
Yeah, me too.
But my point is, so they had brought all these bags with them. They brought like 200 of these bags, and every time we talked to somebody, like we gave Nick a couple of bags. We would always give people bags when we talked to them and filmed them. So I don't know if you know this, Barry, but at the end of the night, they had like 50 bags left over, and they were like, what are we going to do with these bags? And I said, well, let's go to a fire station, right? We'll give them to the firemen. They can give them out to the neighborhood or whatever. So we go to this fire station. Downtown, captain comes down. He's like, sorry, we can't accept any of these bags. And we're like, oh, come on, man. You know, they've got like toiletry items and they're neat bags. I go, you guys can keep them. You guys can give them away to people. He's like, nah, you know, you have to go through the city, fill out paperwork or take them to a registered donation center. And I was like, man, you know, we've got like 50 of these bags. I go, well, let me get this straight. I go, if we dropped off a newborn baby,
right,
you'd take that, no questions asked. Now, Captain, what if I told you inside one of these 50 bags? Yeah, he asked us to leave shortly.
I would think.
Get out right now. Now. Let me tell you, some of the worst advice I ever got in comedy, and you've been around a long time, and I always want advice
from guys.
Well,
when I told you to quit, that I don't think that was the worst.
But somebody said if I got high, if I smoked pot, that would enhance my joke writing, and you've been doing this long enough. Does pot help?
I mean, everybody reacts differently to all, excuse me, drugs, alcohol, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't smoke pot.
Okay.
I've gone on stage. I remember I've gone on stage once at a real show drunk. I'll never forget because I thought it was the greatest set I ever had. And after the show, one of my friends who would see me every once in a while comes up and he goes, Bob, what the hell were you doing up there? And I was like, what, man? I was hilarious. He's like, no, that was horrible. So I never drink. I don't smoke pot anyway because, I just don't like what it does to me. Plus, still kind of illegal.
A little bit.
Right? Yeah. And I don't have a lot of comedians smoke pot. Whatever. They can do what they want. But I have no luck. I could just see myself hanging out with the comedians while they're, you know, smoking pot back by the dumpster or wherever they do it. I don't know where they do it.
I don't know either.
Cop comes driving by. He's like, sees everybody smoking. I'm just there hanging out. Cop's like, all right, you guys are arrested for smoking pot. I'm like, I don't even smoke pot. Cop's like, yeah, see, you got some brownies in your pocket. What are those, your edibles? And I'm like, no, those are just my walking around brownies. Cop's like, well, you seem awfully happy. Well, officer, I've got a pocket full of brownies. What do you want me to be sad about it?
That's great. See, that's why I don't hang out with the potheads. That's awesome.
That's right.
All right, one more time. Tell everybody where they can get tickets and how to see your show March 1st.
At the Improv website, I believe improvhouston.com.
Okay.
Just Google the Improv and find the Houston Club. Thursday night, next Thursday, March 1st, 8 o'clock. Going to be a great show. Actually, there's a I'll say this for you guys. Tickets are $10, but if you buy the tickets, use a password Chili, CHILI, they'll be $8.
Nice.
Sweet.
So
expecting a 20% discount.
Expecting a big crowd.
Yeah.
And that's some 20%? Is that right?
Yeah.
Good job.
Let me do that's right. 20%.
Yes.
I'm no Daryl Morey, but I got
Chili.
That figured out.
One L.
There you go.
Bob, thanks for stopping
chili
in, man.
With two L's.
Yeah, follow me on, believe me. I've
really?
Seen it on the internet.
Okay.
I'm at Chili Time on Twitter. Why am I at Chili Time? Because when Twitter came out 7 years ago, I didn't think it was going to be that big.
Nice.
So.
It's smooth.
Thanks for stopping
thanks for
in,
having
Bob.
Me, guys.
Yeah, good luck on the show, and right, keep doing what you do. It's good stuff. All right, we're going to continue in just a minute with the usual suspects. Right now, I'll tell you about Infuse Energy. Infuse Energy is my energy company. I switched a month back, and I'll tell you, ever since I did, they have saved me every single month on my bill, and I'm talking about a large sum of money, and they can save money for you, too, whether it's for your business or for your family and your house. They'll take care of you. All you got to do is call 844-INFUSE-2, 844-463-8732, or log on to Infuse. fuseenergy.com. If you call, you will get a human being, not an automated system. And they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to make sure that they pinpoint exactly when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, find you the best rate, and take care of you because that's what a friend would do. 100% honest, never trying to make a buck and screw you over. They're going to be here a long time. They want you to be too. So they're here to help you. It's 100% green energy at your fingertips as well. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. And just for mentioning ESPN 97.5, you receive a $25 bill credit. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff are focused on Houstonians and trying to help them with their electricity plans and bills. Try them out. Give them a call. Nothing set in stone, but you can at least give them a call, contact them, and see what they can do for you. Again, 844-INFUSE2, infuseenergy.com. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you say? Still in hour number two of the three-hour F Yeah Friday. Barry, Nick, and Joel. Nick is allowed to speak again. Coming off the rodeo.
Got a text. It says, hey, can you guys give me an F Yeah? For grinding through the food industry for 9 years and finally getting promoted to sous chef.
Congrats.
So congrats,
F,
man.
Yeah, he wanted an F yeah. He gets the F yeah.
Which I need to check on the poll. If you were not aware, yesterday we were debating, was it FEF or F yeah Friday? So I made a poll, as promised, and just asked the listeners, do you think it was FEF Friday or F yeah Friday? Right now, 43%. Say FEF. So, Joel, the peeps are on your side. They are good listeners. 57% say they thought it was F Yeah Friday.
I have always said that our listeners are more intelligent than people that I work with. So, that is backing me up.
I've never disputed it. Okay. Not for one single solitary moment have I disputed that our listeners are smarter than Nick. Never one time.
See, Nick?
See.
Now you can hear it.
Shots are coming.
Yep, that's what you get.
Okay. Four.
So, I don't know. Just because I wanted to deflect the hate off of me and onto you. I don't know what else.
It's all good.
I don't know. Thanks for to Bob Biggerstaff for coming
in. Yeah, that was fun.
Yep. That
good
was
dude.
Cool.
Funny dude. Seen him in the past. And again, he's not one of those guys where it's always got to be funny business when he's off the air. Very, very nice guy. Humble guy.
Mellow dude. Yeah. Likes hanging out. Yeah. Cool dude. You should go to the show. I know most of the comedians are on there. It's going to be a good show. Going to be worth the money, especially if you can get tickets for $8.
It's a good deal.
What was the promo code? Chili?
Promo code with Chili. It'll go down from 10 to 8.
Yeah, so it's worth
savings
it. Especially if you got nothing else to do March 1st in the evening. Go hang out. Go to the Bad Pants Open. Grab your buddies. Go to the Improv. Get a comedy show for $8. You can't beat it.
I was going to ask Bob about this. We ran out of time, but I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but the Olympics had a streaker.
Ooh.
But wasn't naked.
Well, then that's not a streaker.
Yeah, but they're labeling it as such because of the fact that he was in a tutu.
And that's just a drunk.
And he had his junk tucked into a monkey penis holder.
If you're naked running across a field or at a sporting event, then you're a streaker. If you're not naked and doing it, you're a drunk. I think that should be the designation, right?
We need to find out, too, if they, like sporting events here, do they serve alcohol at the Olympics during all events? I know during the halfpipe stuff they do because Red, whatever his name was, the kid that the 17-year-old that won gold for the United States, his dad was all liquored up by the time he won it.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know at every event.
Oh, he ate it on
the
ice, didn't he?
Hard on
the
ice.
Could you imagine you get almost bucket naked running out on the ice?
A monkey
and
pouch?
Then you bust ass on the ice and you're almost naked?
And you got a monkey pouch covering your grapes and you fall down on the... That's not a good look.
Sad times indeed.
Again, I retweeted that at Pac-Man Joel, okay. So if you want to see that, but at least we know that we are not immune to streakers in the Olympics as we get plenty of them in other sporting events. Josh, do I put that out there?
Josh from Huntsville wants to know, damn it, Barry, where's the poll for FEF Friday? It's on my Twitter, Josh, at Barry is funny. So go follow at Pac-Man Joel to see a naked man eat it on the ice.
With a monkey pouch.
With a monkey.
And a tutu.
With a monkey penis pouch.
Right, correct.
Yeah, and then hop over there and vote for FEF or FEF for your Friday. I tried something last night, and I know we got to go to break. So real quick, you know the new Diet Cokes are out.
Oh, with the flavors.
The flavors. I tried two of them, boys. I tried two of them.
And?
I tried the lime and the mango.
And?
I really liked the lime. It was not too powerful because I thought it was either going to be too strong or real weak.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. The mango, the first couple of sips, I was like, this is kind of weird. But the more that I drank it, the more used to it I got. I'm a fan so far. Two for two as far as I would drink them again.
As weird as the chick A+++ that did the commercial. Plus. The tall, skinny, oblong, really weird. That was a weird commercial.
Yeah, that was a weird. She was shaped like the can.
Would you mix these?
No. Now, I would mix them with a drink. Like, cause,
but you wouldn't put like...
Arian Spita said, add rum, trust me. And I was like, okay, I'm not a big rum guy. But then Cody Stutes tweeted to me and said, the cherry is mm-hmm. the best. I was like, all right, I haven't tried those yet. They only had the two flavors available at the gas station off Richmond, so that's where I got.
Would it just be like Coke Zero Cherry? Just throwing it Damn. Out there. That's just a good question.
Damn
ask.
You and your logic. I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
All right, we got 1 hour to go in the big show, but before we get to that, I want to get to this. Gallery Furniture is out there as a proud sponsor of The Usual Suspects, and you should check them out too because they're always looking out for you. They have three locations in the Houston area. They used to have just one, but they know that you are spread out around the Houston area and you want the deals that they have at Gallery Furniture on quality American-made stuff. So therefore, they have three locations. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. They have the Galleria right across from Dillard's on Post Oak, and they have the Mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. No matter which one of the three locations you hit up, you know things are going to be the same across the board, which is what Max says is what they do. That means they're going to save you money. You're going to get solid wood American-made furniture. You're going to get a good deal on quality stuff, and there's never going to be any back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. That's the way they do it. It's not just a marketing slogan. It's the way they execute on a daily basis. We had a Brandon from our staff here go shopping recently for furniture. He shopped around, got prices and a lot of estimates from other places. All of them promised a back order. All of them promised a late delivery. A lot of them promised a lot of money charged for the furniture to be bought. He went to Gallery and it was completely a different story. He got the same furniture, the American made, top quality, great stuff at a lower price, no back order slip. They delivered it the same day. They actually moved other furniture out for him and moved other furniture around in the room to accommodate the new furniture. And they asked if he needed anything else before they left at the end of the day. That's the way they do it at Gallery Furniture. All my furniture from Gallery, yours can be too. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by because Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.